Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on health, gear, trails, fitness, festivals, books, events, and more. This podcast is number 26, and it's going out on September the 5th. It was my birthday last week, and not really something I celebrate, but I got so many birthday wishes from companies and artists saying, "Happy birthday, here's 15% off our site." So let me get this straight, my birthday gift from you is me giving you money. No. I must try that kind of thinking somehow, and next time it's one of those artists' birthdays, I'm sending them a message to wish them a happy birthday and giving them 15% off advertising on my website. Let's see how they like it. I'll even throw in an autographed walking sock to sweeten the deal. That would make their house unlivable for 2 weeks. Anyway, the next milestone is probably Halloween and then the underwhelming UK version of Black Friday. I got a press release last week about a new drone, and it's one that works on and under the water. So that would be great to have, and so would the £1,000 that it costs. Pay some bills or a water drone? I think I would think twice, but then I'd probably do the sensible thing. The bills can wait. For my birthday, someone gave me COVID, and that's been pleasant. Hopefully it hasn't affected my voice too much. I always used to get lots more calls at the radio station when I had a cold, and it made my voice a lot deeper, and people would be phoning in to say I sounded great. Okay, so I'll just keep my cold permanently then. Let's see what September the 5th is. Well, it's International Day of Charity. Hopefully that makes a difference. It's Be Late for Something Day, which might be every day for me. And it's World Samosa Day. It's also the day that the term Benelux came into being for Luxembourg, the Netherlands and Belgium. I wonder why they didn't go with Lubeen. And it's the date that the Voyager 1 spacecraft was launched. And for birthdays, we have Tolstoy, Jesse James and Freddie Mercury. Last time on the podcast, we had a conversation with Kila, a clothing company not a million miles away from where I live, as it is in Fife. And this week we're talking about the High Wheeled Walking Festival. But of course, first we will have our usual brief-ish look at some of this week's articles on WalkingPost.com. If you do have news, guest ideas, or even subjects to cover, or comments, or you want to advertise, please do get in touch via WalkingPost.com, or you can just email me directly at jim@WalkingPost.com. Okay, let's go through some of the headlines of the news articles you may have missed that we had on WalkingPost.com this past week. Hopefully you're reading some of these and not just waiting for that weekly recap. We kicked off the week with an article on the High Wheeled Walking Festival 2025 programme, which is good because that's this week's podcast interview. Aroro introduced its junior heated apparel line. Never mind juniors, I could use some of those. Not quite yet, but soon. And there has been a £20.7 million boost for walking, wheeling and cycling schemes in Greater Manchester. The South Hams Way is set to open. In Scotland, Hoyt's new active travel network is connecting local communities, and Pennsylvania has launched what is a superb state parks resource, and that is to help hikers experience the state's 1,700 miles of trails. Bookings can now be made for the Saltmarsh Coast Walking Festival. We had an article on the so-called fabric of the 21st century, and you can read all of these and more at www.walkingpost.com. Just one conversation this week, although other interviews are done, I just need to spread them out a little bit because the latter part of the month is kind of crazily busy, and while I'll be doing interviews, I probably won't have much time to edit them. As I mentioned in the news, the High Weald Walking Festival is coming very soon, and it sounds great. It's nice to have festivals this time of year to look forward to. To give us the lowdown on the High Weald, we had a really nice chat with Lucy Bowyer, Community Engagement Officer at the High Weald National Landscape Partnership. Thanks for joining us, Lucy. It's great to have you on the podcast. Wonder if you could start with a location fix and a bit of information on the High Weald itself.
Okie dokie. The High Weald is one of the UK's national landscapes. There's 46 national landscapes across England, Wales and Northern Ireland. The High Weald is the fourth largest. It's a very big area and it spans across from Kent, across Sussex, east and west, and into Surrey. So the High Weald is an amazing kind of example of a medieval landscape. There's rolling hills, there's sandstone outcrops. It makes for lovely undulating walks, you know, up and down, the brilliant views, lots of woodland. It's about 30% wooded, so there's a lot of ancient woodland as well. So with that, you get wonderful wildlife. So yeah, lots to see in the High Weald.
Yeah, there's rare stuff there as well, isn't there? There's rare flowers and that kind of
thing. Yeah, well, all over there is really. But yeah, so you've got really nice sort of meadows, lowland heath, which is a really rare habitat now. So some heathland plants, some heathers. And then you get sort of unusual spots. So places like Hastings Country Park has got some unusual climates, and it's got some areas where there's interesting what we call bryophytes and mosses and liverworts and things. So unusual plants because due to the landscape providing wet gills and rocky outcrops and things, that you get these weird little microclimates. So you get these wonderful plants associated with that.
So there's a walking festival. This isn't the first one.
No, so this is the eighth High Weald Walking Festival, and we're hoping it's going to be obviously bigger and better than all the last seven walking festivals. It's been a programme of walks over a period of 9 days. So we start on the 13th of September, which is a Saturday, and we go for the whole week and end on the following Sunday, the 21st of September this year. And over that time, there's 59 walks this year, which is amazing, way more than last year. We've just had some really great organisations come on board and start joining the programme. So we've been able to offer further walks. The Walking Festival is a partnership between my organisation, the High Weald National Landscape Partnership, and the Ramblers. And the Ramblers are amazing. They're an amazing organisation. We've got several local groups that are involved in organising and planning and leading walks for the festival. It just couldn't happen without them. But in addition to the Ramblers and some of these much longer walks that might, you know, take up the best part of your day, we involve local organisations as well. So, for example, the Kent and the Sussex Wildlife Trusts are involved, RSPB. There's walks at lots of different partner organisations, like there's an individual charity called the William Robinson Grave Tie Charity. So there's all sorts involved offering walks across the High Weald. And some of those other walks are sort of maybe shorter and more specialised, you know, with an employee that can give a real insight into how that organisation is managing their area of the High Weald. And we've even got Worth Abbey is involved. And so we've got some of the monks doing a guided tour of the Worth Abbey estate, which is a beautiful estate. And then they're very generously inviting people to attend their prayers afterwards if they wish to. So, you know, it's an insight into areas that perhaps you wouldn't necessarily get at other times.
You said 8 years. That must have gone across the COVID years. Was it cancelled then?
No, do you know, we were so fortunate. We didn't cancel, but we were able to kind of still keep the momentum of a festival presence and encourage people to go out on self-guided walks. But we had to obviously stay outside and book and limit the numbers of people that could come. But we certainly carried on. We certainly had a presence throughout all of those years.
When you look through the list of all the festivals around the UK, it seems to be kind of late spring, a little bit of early summer. Is there a reason why this one's a little bit later than some of the others?
I wasn't involved in making that decision 8 years ago, so I don't know if there was a reason then. But from my perspective, being involved in organising it now, First of all, if lots of other festivals are spring and summer, we're not competing with those. You know, ours is people might have a freer diary. The area that we live in is really popular for tourists a lot of the time. But September is a great month because once the children have all gone back to school, people without children at school are free to go on holiday and not be surrounded by children off school. So that's a really popular time for visitors to come to the area as well, particularly in our coastal region. We get lots of visitors from the UK and overseas at that sort of time. But, you know, seasonally as well, it's a wonderful time of year to get out walking. You don't quite know what's going to be in store. You know, it could still feel like summer and you're out in your t-shirts and shorts and enjoying a really sunny walk. But it could be the start of autumn and everything changing, which I love those kind of changes into new seasons. And this morning, taking the children back to school for the first day this year, you know, they're kicking up leaves on the lane outside school because the leaves have started to come down. So that could be a really lovely time to go for a walk as well.
That's probably the biggest thing that I missed moving to Canada and living in the US was four distinct seasons that we get in
Absolutely.
The UK.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, at work, I've sort of worked in nature and conservation for most of my working life. And I studied conservation and I studied sort of habitat management. And initially, when I was younger, I would have dreamt of going and working overseas, you know, on the plains of Africa or something. But the more I got to know British wildlife, I thought, where else can I be where we have these four really distinct seasons with such amazing changes that come with that? And the wildlife changes all the time. And actually, I'm a bit of a bird lover, and September is an amazing time to get out and see birds leaving, new birds arriving. Lots of things to look forward to in September.
What kind of numbers do you get and where do they come from?
Yeah, so last year it was brilliant. We had 40 walks, so significantly less than this year. But of those 40 walks, we had about 600 participants. So that's an amazing kind of number of walkers out enjoying our landscape. And so obviously we've got more walks on this year, and so we would hope that that number will increase again. In terms of where they come from, obviously we do get local people because a lot of the festival walks are, you know, on a weekday and in the daytime and when some people would be at work. But we have two weekends, so 4 days out of that, hopefully people would be available, other people would be available as well. But yeah, so people could come from anywhere. So we might get people from Kent, Sussex, Surrey, but also people, as I said before, like to come on holiday to this area in September. And we have some people that have commented before in their feedback that they've planned their trip around coming for specifically to cover that period when the festival is on so that they can take part in some of the walks. And we've had overseas walkers as well. So I know last year I led a walk, a coastal walk, and we had people that just happened to be on holiday, did a bit of a looking what's on today, saw our walk and came and joined in. So they not only got to have a lovely sunny walk around a really nice nature reserve, but they also got to learn a little bit about the high weald, and hopefully that made them want to come back again.
So what's in store for the new and expanded 2025 edition?
Okay, so we've got a really good kind of geographical cover across the whole area. Like I said before, it's a really big landscape, so there's a lot of places to cover. So we've got a really good geographical spread. We've got lots of partners involved. We've got the RSPB, we've got the Wildlife Trust that I've already mentioned, Buck and Country Park, the Kent High Weald Partnership. So there's lots of different wildlife experiences to have. One of our new partners, TCV, are leading or involved in organising volunteer-led a walk programme called East Sussex Health Walks. So they've come on board this year and we're promoting their health walks as part of the festival. And a lot of those are in more urban areas or on the edges of the High Weald National Landscape. So they are much shorter walks, sort of for beginners or people that are perhaps not able to walk as far any longer. And they're just shorter walks of like an hour and a half. And they're very much focused on being sociable, chatting as you walk, so your well-being really. So there's lots of different kind of walks this year.
Do you like themed walks?
As well as the wildlife, we've got the, like I say, the well-being is a big theme this year. We've got a wonderful walk in Mayfield which has lots of the characteristics of what makes the High Weald a protected sort of national landscape. You can see a lot of those characteristics from Mayfield, and it's a short walk, but it's with a poet, Gemma Borg. She's an award-winning poet, and she won an award a couple of years ago with the National Landscapes Association for a collection of nature-based poetry, and she's been commissioned to write a poem specifically for the High Weald National Landscape, and she's produced a wonderful poem called Humans Need a View. So we're doing a walk with Gemma around that area, looking at the landscape, finding a wonderful view, and going to the area that inspired kind of Gemma's writing and listening to her read her poem. So that's a new theme for this year. But yeah, there's lots of different themes. Ashdown Forest have a lot of walks, so people that live in that area or people that would like to kind of know more about that area, obviously it's a very well-known part of the High Weald, mainly due to Winnie the Pooh. So there's lots of walks around Ashdown Forest. There's something for everybody, literally, this year.
Does it go down as far as the channel?
You've kind of got the High Weald, and we get to Hastings Country Park. We've got a lovely walk at Hastings Country Park with Jill, one of their officers from Groundwork there. And so that is included in the High Weald. And then to Rye, so coastal there. So we've got a couple of walks at Rye Harbour Nature Reserve and from Rye to Winchelsea. And there's a few that you can reach by train as well. Rye's got two walks that you can get public transport to. Wadhurst, Balcombe, that's another one you could get the train or the bus to. So yeah, we're trying to kind of make sure that there's as much accessibility for people as possible. And with some of these wellbeing walks as well, they're on maybe flatter terrains or better paths for people that might have mobility issues as well.
You mentioned the accessibility. There's probably a whole range of kind of like very easy and short to strenuous and long, I would imagine.
Yeah. So on our website, it's got the whole program. You can look at each individual walk and see that grading. But actually, because that's a lot of walks to go in and have a look at all the detail, there's also a downloadable guide, which is everything on one spreadsheet. And it's just the sort of the most basic information, but it will tell you whether it's easy or moderate, you know, whether there are obstacles like stiles, and it will tell you the meeting points. So basically, you've got a really simple spreadsheet of all of the walks with the important must know information.
And speaking of the must know information, what can you give me the kind of recap of the dates and whether there's a cost?
The first walks are on Saturday, the 13th of September, and there's walks every day from the 13th through to Sunday, the 21st of September. There is no cost. The whole point of the High Weald Walking Festival is it's free, and it's to encourage people to get out and enjoy this wonderful landscape that we have here. All of the walks on the website, the information is there to tell you how to join, where to go, what time to be there. Out of all of those 59 walks, only 14 are bookable in advance. So the rest are just turn up. So really, there's a little bit of planning if you want to go on one of those 14 walks. So it's advisable to have a look at the programme, see what takes your fancy, and if it needs booking, book sooner rather than later so that you've secured your spot. But if it's not a bookable walk, you can just turn up on the day.
All right. Do you allow children and dogs?
Yeah, so some of the walks will say no for dogs or children, but a lot of them are very family friendly, child friendly. There's two specific sort of family friendly walks on the first weekend of the festival, one on Saturday the 13th at Rye. Also, you're able to reach that one by public transport, but that's a family friendly walk out to part of Rye Harbour Nature Reserve, Camber Castle, and some wetlands there. So that's a nice family walk. And then on Sunday the 14th, there's a wonderful walk with Michael Blenko, who's a well-known Sussex naturalist, wildlife guide. He's also an author, he's written books, and he's a really engaging, entertaining expert of all things wildlife, and he's doing a family friendly walk at Old Lodge Nature Reserve, so that's sort of near Ashdown Forest area. But that one's bookable, the Michael Blenko, so if that takes your fancy, then you need to book your place on that one. But a lot of the other walks will say children are welcome.
All right. Obviously, if you're from the area, it doesn't really matter, but if you were coming in from either overseas or different parts of the UK specifically for the festival, is it easy to get around and find places to stay?
In terms of places to stay, I'm hoping that as it's September and school holidays are over, that accommodation is slightly more available in the different areas. In terms of getting around, travelling across Sussex does sometimes need a little planning. It's not the easiest county to drive across. Things take a little longer because a lot of our routes and roads go north to south rather than east to west. So if you are wanting to travel and do some of the different walks, I'd just say just give yourself time. There's quite a few roadworks at the moment. Give yourself a little bit extra time for travelling. And if anybody needs any help, information, advice, they can just contact us through the website. You know, we're here to help and here to encourage people to come and join as many walks as possible.
All right. And it is quite a large geographical area that's quite diverse. For those that aren't familiar with it, what are some of your favourite places to go there?
Well, I'm based right over in the east, so I know this area best, and I love the coast. So I'm really looking forward to going on the Hastings Country Park walk. I love Hastings Country Park. It's such a diverse area. You can have an easy or a really difficult walk at Hastings Country Park. It's a really sort of unusual set of habitats. Nothing else around it is quite like it. And then you've got the sea as a view as well. That really ticks boxes for me. But I also love woodland, so any of the sort of woodland walks would be amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to so many things. A walk with the poet, finding a bit more about how Gemma goes about writing. You could do absolutely anything on these walks, but my favourites are generally coastal and woodland. So there's things for me to enjoy as well.
It's a great place, the High Weald. We used to live not that far from there in West Sussex. It's got some very diverse scenery, unique woodland, and as you heard, it's the home walking festival for Winnie the Pooh. Will he be there? Well, you'll have to check out the website www.highweeldwalks.org. As it's a bit of a shorter podcast, I think I feel another rant coming on, in spite of the state of my voice. And of course, all of this is tongue firmly in cheek. I think I'll call this one the Endpoint Arrivers. I was first made aware of this subspecies when I went to Austria hiking for the first time when I was in university. We spent several hours hiking up the side of a mountain in the Tyrol, and it was beautiful, and it was hot. Now, in many parts of Austria, at least at the time, I'm not sure about now, you could pick up a little card passport of sorts at the visitor centre, and you'd get that stamped in various places around the town and around the region, and those stamps would earn you hiking badges. Quite often they were at mountaintop cafes, so at the top of this deserted mountain was a beautiful cafe with an absolutely beautiful view. And with no one else around, being a little bit muddy and very sweaty, it didn't matter. Well, that was until we went in through the door for Schwarzwaldtorte, which is also known as Black Forest Cake, and lots of water. The place was teeming with what I call the Endpoint Arrivers, a bus tour full of fresh-as-daisies German tourists with not a drop of sweat in sight. Of course, they're all eating the cake, which is now all gone, and for some reason that I can't figure out, they're all dressed like they've just come off a hiking company walking gear catalogue shoot. They've conquered the 5-yard incline from the coach park on the other side of the mountain to the cafe door. One particularly rotund man even added insult to injury by asking me if it was a tough walk. And then he went for the throat by asking if I could take a photo of him and his group outside so they could look like they climbed it. He's lucky I didn't hurl the camera into Switzerland. Now I want to extend that thought to the US. There, it's a different kind of endpoint arriver. Here, you'll go visit a national park, and in the US, a lot of them are very sensibly arranged for tourists. So there are lots of trails, and there's lots of parking. While we would park somewhere and do a 20-mile trail, the way that many people do it is to simply drive to parking lot number one, get out, take a selfie, get back in, drive to the next parking lot, or viewpoint, get out, take selfie number two, and repeat this until the end of the trail. Now, admittedly, some might go 100 yards if there was something really spectacular, like a visitor centre with washrooms, a restaurant and a gift store. One of the Germans' obviously American cousins asked me with a look of amazement as we walked up to the visitor centre, "Where did you come from?" I told her the first car park. "You can do that?" "Yes, it's called hiking." And of course, these people are also in full hiking gear because it ruins the credibility of the social media posts that say, "We hiked Zion." It's an incomplete sentence. We hiked Zion from the car and our daily total was 480 yards. We took in 2,400 calories and burned 30. Having said that, I'm not just blaming other people, it is also prevalent here in the UK, where you get the people who park as close as they possibly can to the Instagram coordinates and saunter the 100 yards to the top of the hill, pristine gear and walking poles with not a smear of mud on them. A couple of years ago in the Galloway Forest, close to where we live, we even had to help out a family who had driven so close to the top up a path that was definitely not a road that they got stuck. And then the woman said to me, "There's no bars to call the AA," as if the AA is going to come and help you up here. They weren't even embarrassed. Fortunately, about 5 minutes later, while we were deciding what to do, a farmer on a four-wheeler came by, and then he went for his truck. And then came the most priceless comment of all when the farmer arrived, and that was from the stuck car's driver. "Don't scratch the car," he told the farmer. The farmer gave me a look as if to say, "I wasn't going to scratch your car, but I am now." Okay, I feel a little bit better after that. A little bit. Anyway, that's it for another podcast. If you have news or suggestions for podcast guests, please do get in touch through jim@walkingpost.com. If you have a subject that makes you mad about walking, as long as it's not this podcast, I'd love to hear about that too. My walking this weekend probably isn't happening as I recover from COVID, and it's the Air show this weekend, so all the roads in the county will be filled with people trying to get a view of a plane in the distance. I must admit I'd like to see the Lancaster that's there, and I would also like to see the Red Arrows, but not if I have to spend 2 hours driving 5 miles. So I hope you enjoyed this week's WalkingPost.com podcast, and I hope you have a great week. Hopefully with a walk involved, and hopefully that's in nice weather. So, until next time, happy trails! Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.